Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new in-life episode of the Snatchback Podcast. This is Arden talking to you. Hope all is well with you and your family. I know it's been a little while since I've been on these airwaves talking basketball. It's been, I think, wow, like a month, you know, since I've talked basketball with you guys on the Snatchback, but I'm here. Last time I was on here, it was me and Randy. Salute to him. Make sure you check out Randy on Twitter at Randy J. Cruz, and make sure you check out the Cruz Control podcast. You won't regret it. Trust me on that. We did an NBA playoff special, a preview special, and I figured, you know what? Why not come back exactly a month from now? Well, I wasn't thinking this at the time, but I was like, you know what? Why not just come back on the air now, give my thoughts, because we're basically about to be two rounds in into this year's postseason. Like, we're about to be done with two rounds. Like, we got three out of the four remaining teams left in the NBA. We know Cleveland is in one spot in the conference finals. We know Golden State and Oklahoma City, they're in the Western Conference Finals. And we're waiting for the winner of the Toronto-Miami series. Toronto's currently up 3-2 on Miami. So the conference finals are basically set to start really, you know, this weekend and Monday. So I figure why not just come back on the air and touch on this. And we also got some other stuff to discuss other than the NBA playoffs. You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of all these old school, new school discussions. We'll talk about Steph Curry and, you know, the everlasting and annoying discussions on MVP and what really makes an MVP. And we'll definitely get into all that and more. But let's start with the NBA playoff talk. Oklahoma City, ladies and gentlemen, beat the San Antonio Spurs last night, 113-99, to advance to the Western Conference Finals. Sorry, I almost said semifinals, but to the Western Conference Finals. Their fourth one in 6 years. Salute to those guys, man. I was a bit surprised hearing that, because you would have thought, you know, Oklahoma City, they've probably been to two or three, but 4 in 6 years, that's pretty damn good. And let me just say this right off the bat. I'm not surprised that Oklahoma City won. I'm just being completely honest with you. I'm not surprised that Oklahoma City won, because I got a good feeling of this series after game two. When I saw how game two ended, along with how it was being played, you know, because I got to give Oklahoma City credit before that crazy ending in the final 10 seconds, Oklahoma City, after getting smacked in game one, was able to come back in game two, control that game for a bit, and they eventually won. So when I saw that, I said, you know what? Oklahoma City does have a legitimate shot at winning. And I think if you're somebody that believes in the whole, did someone win more than the other team lost, or the other team lost more than the other team won, Oklahoma City won this series much more than San Antonio lost it. Okay? Point blank period. We're not going to play the whole San Antonio lost the series more. They didn't. Like, San Antonio was in trouble the moment that it became clear that the only way they was beating Oklahoma City was either by blowing them out or LaMarcus Aldridge and Kawhi Leonard going off. That is so un-Spurs-like. You just knew that this team was not going to win or struggle at the very least to beat Oklahoma City if it's coming down to those factors. Because if there's anything that we know about San Antonio is when they dominate, they dominate as a unit. You know, they're not like a good majority of the NBA where it's one or two guys that's dominating opposing teams. No, when they dominate as a group, not just with five guys, not just with six guys. It's the entire team that will go in and, excuse my language, kick your ass. That's just what they do, you know. And to see that suddenly be the opposite, in which San Antonio is basically playing – OKC style of basketball and having to be dependent on a couple guys or that one guy, just showed me as an objective basketball fan who doesn't have anything invested, the Spurs are my team, the Thunder are my team, I don't hate neither of these teams, that San Antonio was in trouble. And I think Oklahoma City, they didn't play really good basketball for the most part, but when they made mistakes, unlike San Antonio, they was able to bounce back from those mistakes, and they made big plays, and they made the right adjustments. So all I can do, and I think you should do too, is give kudos to the Oklahoma City Thunder, because nobody really gave them a shot before game one, certainly after game one. Nobody gave these boys a shot to freaking beat San Antonio, but they did. And when you want to look ahead to the conference finals matchup between them and Golden State, I will say this. I think Golden State is going to win, but I think they're going to win in a very competitive six-game series. Now that I said that, Golden State isn't playing at the level that we saw them play at for the most of the regular season. Golden State isn't as healthy as they once were during the regular season. So I give Oklahoma City a legitimate chance at that, along with the fact that you have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. If those two, and I brought this up when I was talking to my best friend Andrew on the phone a couple of nights ago, we had a very funny and pretty intense basketball conversation, because most of the time when we talk, we get in these arguments and often have to school them and things of that nature, because I have to teach them, you know, about life and about the game. But I say that to say this. Oklahoma City, if they can win not just one of the first games in Golden State, but I think if they could take games 3 and 4, that they could beat, you know, this team. Now, that may sound obvious, but it's really not. Because, for one, we're talking about a Golden State team that how many times did they lose at home this entire year? Once. They lost once this entire time at home. So that's a very, very tough task on its own. But Oklahoma City just finished beating a San Antonio team that was dominant at home this year. So that's definitely a possibility. But I do think, though, that they got to take the road games. Not the road games. They got to take the home games from Golden State. When the series shifts back to Oklahoma City, and if you're Oklahoma City and you tied the series 1-1, you have to take those games, man, 3 and 4. And I also think executing at a high level makes for a very, very important thing for you to do. Because this is not San Antonio, okay? This is not a San Antonio team that we saw from this past series. Golden State, if you're playing sloppy basketball, they will make you pay. And I think Russell Westbrook will have the biggest, biggest impact out of anybody in this entire series, including Steph. I really do believe that, because if he can play, of course, his brand of basketball, but it's done in a more efficient manner, and he's protecting the ball, and he's not letting his one-on-one matchup with Steph influence him in a negative way, Oklahoma City can win. Because we're starting to see suddenly Oklahoma City have, you know, good things happening with their depth. Like, you know, you're starting to see guys like Deion Waiters, go figure, Andre Robertson, Anthony Morrow, or Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, Serge Ibaka, suddenly be big-time players. And those guys can actually match, in my opinion, with the guys that Golden State considers depth. You know, Sean Livingston, Barbosa, Mo Spates, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, Virgil. You get what I'm saying? So I just think for Oklahoma City, is definitely a really tall task. But after you beat San Antonio the way that you did, with the fact that you're getting help, along with the looming threat of Durant and Westbrook playing at a very high level together, I'll give them a really legitimate chance at beating Golden State. Now, like I said in the beginning, I do think Golden State will win. But I'm not ruling out the Thunder winning. And once again, I will not be surprised if Oklahoma City pulls off another one. And to be honest with you, and this is where, you know, the Cavs fan and me come out, I was happy Oklahoma City won. I was, man, because I've been saying for months on Twitter And I even said it, I believe, on my NBA playoff preview show with Randy. I said, look, in terms of how I feel about my Cavaliers' chances to win the title, other than it increasing based on the Cavaliers' playing health, it will also increase based on matchup. Do I feel good about it versus Golden State? Heck no. I really don't. I feel a little better, but if I had to give you a percentage between 0 and 100, I'm at 10%. If it was San Antonio, I was at 55-45 in favor of us. I felt good, because they're eliminated. I felt good about matching up with San Antonio because I know that we can compete with those boys, and I think we can do it. Oklahoma City Thunder, I feel really good about those guys. Even though they're improved, they're coming off a big series win, that doesn't mean I don't feel good about us matching them, okay? I feel like we can really do it. So, yes, I do have something invested now that I think about it in Oklahoma City. I would love for them to make the finals if they can. But with the way my Cavs are playing, because, you know what, we might as well start talking about my Cavs, I feel better about this team, you know? For me, moving forward, I just need to see this team commit still to ball movement. And let's try to limit the usage of ISO ball. That, to me, is the biggest thing I want to see. I get it with Kyrie and LeBron and JR needing love. The temptation to get and indulge in ISO ball is going to be at an all-time high. I completely understand, man. I'm not going to be mad over that. But what we need to understand is that needs to be every once in a blue moon during a ball game. The only way we're going to win this NBA title is if our ball movement stays the same and remains consistent. That ball has to be moving, fellas. We need to be moving. We need to be moving without the ball. Of course, we need to hope that the three-point shot can still fall. And just getting to the basket, you know, the isolation ball, save that, you know, here and there, a couple times in the fourth quarter when we need somebody to get going and to set guys up. But we need to move that ball and keep going. I'm telling you, because if we can do this, Cleveland could really win the championship. I just find it funny that suddenly Cleveland's the best team remaining in the playoffs. And I know what some of you are going to say. Oh, you're going to, oh, you know, the Cavs are playing in the East. It's Atlanta. It's, you know, it's Detroit. Look at Toronto, Miami. Hey, bro. Golden State played Houston. They played Portland. No disrespect to Portland, but still, they played Portland, bro, who many didn't expect to make playoffs. LeBron, Kyrie, this team can't control who they face. And we damn sure can't control, unless it's versus us, how these teams play. It's not my fault Toronto's crap in the bed. And they struggling so far, bro. It's not my fault Boston, who was supposed to be a legitimate threat, got knocked out in the first round and fell to, what was it, the sixth seed? Or whatever seed it was. I think it was the fifth. It's not our fault, man. Okay? It's the competition's fault. We just doing what we got to do, man. You guys forget, Cleveland had questions entering the postseason. You understand me? Cleveland had questions entering the postseason. They had questions surrounding their health, their style of play, head coach Tyronn Lue, the big three. We had those questions, man. Not my fault we're answering those questions, and we're doing what we got to do as we continue this journey to the title. It's not our fault. The East is improved. The East is more competitive. It's just not our fault that the East is playing like boo-boo. It's really not. I understand we've been with this whole West over East stuff for a long time, but look, same could go for the West. It's not our fault that teams in the West banged up or playing like crap. Just is what it is, playboy. It's all about who's matched up and taking care of business. You know, it just is what it is, man. It is what it is. Like, dudes just want to find a way to limit the impact and the legacy of LeBron James or greats by mentioning the competition. Well, it wouldn't be a big concern for you if the competition stepped up and did what they had to do. Now, are there times where the matchups could be too favorable for a player and a team? Yes. But there's also times where it's just that team, that player is just that damn good, and they take care of business. And that's LeBron James, and that's Cleveland. And that's been LeBron James' his entire career in the East. Dudes talk about the West being so competitive and so dominant. If they were so competitive and dominant, tell me how for the last 25 to 35 years, the West has been on smash by, like, not even a handful of teams, dog. Explain to me that. Riddle me that. Y'all supposed to be the most competitive conference. All I see over the past 30 years, Lakers dominating, San Antonio dominating, Houston dominating back in the 90s, Utah. Like, you guys never have this diversity like the East has. People front on the East when it comes to teams having runs. You could go back 30, 40 years. Teams in the East have runs. Boston, runs. Detroit, their run. Chicago, their run. The New Jersey Nets. The Miami Heat. The Boston Celtics in the 2000s. People have runs in the East, even if it's just for a couple years. In the West, The West stayed getting held hostage, bro. Lakers, as usual. San Antonio for the last freaking 15 years. And Houston from, what was it, maybe 94 to 95. That was it, bro. So don't talk to me about competitiveness. Oh, competitiveness. Ain't nothing competitive in the West, bro. Y'all just have good regular seasons. Your playoffs are so trash, man, because the same teams just dominate, bro. Golden State about to run the conference. Don't tell me about competitiveness. Y'all get smacked and held hostage by the same dudes for the last 30 to 40 years. So don't tell me about competitiveness. Literally, do your research, folks. Do your Googles. The West has always been held hostage. In the East, at least teams make runs, bro. I just named it. Boston, 70 in the 80s. Late 80s, Detroit. The Bulls in the 90s. Freaking, let me see, to get to the 2000s, the Pistons again, the Celtics in the mid to late 2000s, the Miami Heat, of course, with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, Cleveland once again with LeBron. We got diversity. In the West, you can literally name just all the teams because there's only three to four teams that just dominate the conference. Don't tell me about competitiveness because you got a few teams winning 50 games a year. Congratulations, bro. How many of those teams are legit playoff contenders? Yeah, you guys are so competitive, but only one to two teams every year is actually about that championship life. Seriously. That's how I feel. I had to get that off my chest. It just gets so annoying because it's a false truth. It's a false narrative. The West ain't competitive. If it's competitive, only during the regular season, bro. That's it. Now to switch the topic. Let's talk about Steph Curry winning MVP. For one, it's rightfully deserved. Two, I'm upset at it. Why I'm upset? Because, for one, I'm upset that I don't disagree with Steph Curry being a unanimous MVP. It's that he should have been the second or third ever unanimous MVP. Because Shaq in 2000 and definitely LeBron in 2013 should have got a unanimous MVP vote. Those are just facts, bro. Okay, Gary Washburn, you will never be forgiven for voting for Carmelo Anthony the year LeBron was clear-cut the MVP. And you deserve happiness, but not as much happiness as you really should get because you voted against LeBron. And the same thing goes for the voter who voted against Shaq in 2000. I got to look up the 2000 MVP voting, but I bet you that guy who got a vote, a first-place vote, probably didn't deserve it. I bet money. I bet my Xbox One. I bet my iPhone. I bet anything I got. That person in 2000 probably didn't deserve an MVP vote, okay? Steph Curry, winning MVP, like I said before, not surprising. It's been known for a long time. But I just hate the fact that he's the first ever unanimous because he should have been the third. But what I hate more is the lies that sports fans and media are certainly spreading when it comes to LeBron and the MVP, that LeBron was hating on Steph. What did LeBron say about Steph that was hating? All he said was MVP's open to interpretation for anybody when it comes to most valuable and best player. That's been a fact for years. How is that hating? That's just y'all wanting to make stories up, man. Another thing, this whole old school, new school basketball discussions, it is so boring. It is trash. You guys gotta stop, man. New school folks, you gotta understand, man. And anything in life, old school people are gonna hate on the new school stuff. That's just how the game goes, folks. It's how the game goes. It's how it always will be. Stop, you know, getting your panties bunched up, your boxes bunched up, whatever, because a couple old school cats don't like the new game. It's how it goes. Of course they don't. They see all the new cats making way more money than them, being way more friendly, being blessed with way more than they ever got, not going through the same prejudice and the same struggles that they went through. Of course they're going to hate and criticize. That's how the game goes. It goes like that for anything in life. And it's going life in general. You could be a millennial like myself who maybe grew up in an area where you didn't have the experience of racism or, let's say, financial or educational struggles, and you've lived in a really good life compared to your grandfather who had to go through, grandfather, grandmother who had to go through all those things. Of course, there's a chance some of them may hate. If it ain't your grandparents, it's probably going to be your uncles, your aunts, your cousins, something, bruh. Come on, man. And the old school guys, I don't got nothing to say to them because I'm not surprised. What I'm going to say, come on, appreciate the game. Appreciate the game. For what? That's just what they do. New school guys, you focused on them. Oh, how about you appreciate the new talent and enjoy the evolution? No, how about you appreciate them? Because remember, they paved the way. We didn't. They paved the way for how the game is, bro. And I'm not going to let you guys slide who took part in this discussion when most of y'all disrespect the greats. And I still can't get over how you guys treated Oscar Robertson because he shared his opinion on Steph Curry. And basically all he did was just express how he felt Steph Curry could be stopped or contained. And you guys had a field day. How dare you do that to one of the greatest to ever do it, to do something that won't be done again? Average a triple-double. Try to disrespect his career and his way of life. He can't control which era of basketball he played in when they wore Converse high shorts and he was just guarded by unathletic white guards. It's not his fault. Come on, man. You can't. Don't be contradicting yourself. You mad at the old school cats, but you stay disrespecting the old school. That leads me to my next point with the freaking Michael Jordan in 90s discussions. Stop with all that, man. Who gives a damn who would have done good back then or who would have done good now? What matters is dudes were good. Dudes were great. Dudes were phenomenal. They were big-time plays. I mean, big-time plays. Who gives a flying crap about, well, I think this guy, if he played back then, considering how physical things were, I'm not sure they would have done this. We don't got the proof. Why discuss it? Basketball Twitter, y'all getting annoying, bro. What's the point? All the shenanigans. Michael Jordan, well, in this article, Michael Jordan, he was impassioned about the NBA not allowing zone, and I just think in today's game with advanced coaching and the athletes, who cares? Unless you gonna say, I don't think this player would be good or that. I don't want to hear your opinion on how players will play back then or now if your conclusion is going to remain those guys will be good. You're just wasting time that you won't get back. It's stupid. You can call my opinion stupid. You could not care about it. I don't care. I'm calling yours stupid. Because you know why? Because yours just a stupid, stupid, and stupid. And these discussions are dumb. For what reason are we talking about this, bro? It's stupid. Oh, my God, man. I was off Twitter for 10 days. So when I came back and I saw these discussions, it just made me mad because it's a waste of time.
This guy,
I don't know. I just think LeBron, if he played in the 80s because of the hand check and how physical they was, I don't think they'll do. But you know what it is? I just changed my mind. I respect the old school cats who really believe that the new school guys wouldn't play back then because they're legitimate about it. That to me is a take worth listening. You new school cats who just go and big up today's game and share your reasons why that it's better, but your conclusion for a player is that they'll still be good today, it's invalid. It doesn't make sense. You want to impress me? Say straight up Michael Jordan wouldn't be good if he played today. Then we'll be talking. I swear to God. Don't be talking about Mike. Don't be talking about Charles Barkley. Don't be talking about whoever from back in the day about playing in today's game if your conclusion is still is that they will still be busting ass. Don't do it. It's a waste of an opinion. It's stupid. I was, matter of fact, salute to the old school guys, man, because they be serious about that, yo. When they tell you they don't think a LeBron or a Steph or KD can't play today and their game back then, they mean it. And I can respect it because they really mean it. They sell it. Us new school cats, we suck. We're slacking. We literally will name everything about today's game that's so much different than back then and how it's better and how it's tougher. And that's not me saying I don't agree with it, but I just don't agree with us engaging in this conversation just for us to acknowledge, well, yeah, you know, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, whoever, yeah, they'll still do their thing. We got to be like the old school guys, man. And that's just honestly how I feel about the NBA playoffs and basketball so far. But, yeah, man, that's the latest episode of the Snatchback. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Whew, I had a lot of fun. That felt like therapy. That really did. I have another basketball clip coming out definitely within the next week. I'm doing it tomorrow morning, hopefully, with my dude Shane Carter, who's an aspiring basketball player who's been playing, you know, semi-pro ball, D-League ball, and he's, of course, still on his journey to making the NBA or playing overseas. So I'm hoping, Shane, if you're hearing this, I'm hoping that you're able to make it on Saturday morning. If you can't, please let me know. But I think my final words to you guys is just enjoy the rest of the playoffs. I will definitely be back with an NBA Finals piece. You know, I definitely will be back with that. I got a Cavaliers piece that I got to finish up on. But, yeah, that's just that. Funny how things change. Cavaliers suddenly the best team in the playoffs right now. Oklahoma City, don't count them out. They have a legitimate shot. Steph should be the third ever unanimous MVP. And these old school, new school discussions are straight up. And I mean this with every fiber in my heart. They're straight up stupid. They're dumb. You guys are talking in circles. Stop. Please stop. It makes no sense. You guys talk in circles, and the conclusions and the takes are whack. You're just wasting time. You're just talking just to talk. Matter of fact, not even talking this stuff. You're tweeting just to tweet. All right? Move on. Don't make no damn sense. I holler at y'all later, man. Peace. Go Cavs.